Waiver wire and the return of Dave Richard today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Which one are you more excited for? We're presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. It is a Tuesday morning. It's December. It's December, people. The season is winding down. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings. Dave Richard and Jamie will be here soon. Dave, good to hear from you again. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much. And it is crazy that it's December. I'm feeling a little down. And at the same time, I can't wait for this hellish fantasy football season to end. Adam, you know, recently The Hunger Games came out with its fourth installment in movie theaters.
Uh-huh.
And no, it's not a movie about me playing with my food. It's actually like this crazy dramatic movie, lots of action. There's a romance story in there somewhere. I don't really get that part, but in the movie, there are people that just get killed off, you know, one by one, some in horrific ways. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, this season has resembled the Hunger Games because stars drop almost every week, including that one week where there were like five guys that got hurt in the span of 15 minutes. And now this week, we lost maybe the biggest star of all, Josh McCown.
Oh, that's where you were going with that. Well,
you thought I was going to say Gronk and Jimmy Graham. Graham isn't a star anymore.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence, she survives, I assume.
He's been long gone for a while. Now we don't have to feel... Hello?
What?
Hello? What just happened?
What the hell are you talking about? Dave, what happened to you over the break?
There was just like some weird pause there.
No, there was. Okay, we're ending this. Heath, please bring some normalcy to this podcast.
Well, I don't know that Josh McCown's a star. I thought Jimmy Graham was still a star. I'm lost by the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm just
forget
trying
it.
To regroup.
Forget Hello. It.
Prepare for the playoffs. The regular season's ending. And yeah, there's been a lot of injuries and it's not really been pleasurable, but what it has done, I feel like, is reward owners that are good during the regular season.
How is it rewarding owners that are good during the regular season?
Because you
could have had a great regular season and you still got bit by the injury.
No, I'm sorry.
Right on the right butt cheek and it hurts.
Not
owie.
Not rewarding teams that were good, as in winning during the regular season. Rewarding owners that are active and good at the waiver wire and
but I'm one of those owners, and I've had a lot of great players that I've had to cut from my rosters, and I'm actually having a terrible year in many of my leagues, not because I drafted poorly or because of, you know, forgetting to set lineups or anything crazy like, oh, I never do waivers. I do waivers for my 13 teams every week, but just the combination of crappy players, and maybe there are some players who I drafted that were crappy. Also, just the number of players that have gotten hurt, and it's gone in every single position. It's been like if you went through your season without one injury hurting your lineup, you're like the miracle baby from Miracle Whip. And I'm talking about a little baby in the Miracle Whip jar, that type of miracle. And you live, and you love mayonnaise.
Okay,
but it's not
okay,
really-
okay. Dave, I don't know what happened to you over the break, but I'm going to cut in here and tell people what's coming up on today's show. We will look at the waiver wire. Of course, tight end replacements. We're actually going to do those before any other position. We got the drop-o-meter. We got a recap of last night's unbelievable finish and the rest of that game. And your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Keep sending us your emails. We will read as many as we can. But I do need to correct something that Nick and I said yesterday. I think we said that Detroit and Green Bay are on a short week. No, they are not on a short week. I, for whatever reason, didn't take that into account. They have a full week of rest as they play on Thursday night. Here's a team name for you on Team Name Tuesday. It comes from Matthew Schultz. Are you guys into the new Adele song? Hello.
No. No.
My niece is, so I've heard it 10 million times over Thanksgiving.
Do you want to sing the team name, Dave?
No. No one wants to hear me sing.
Hey Lou from the Carlos Hyde.
No one wants to hear you sing.
That's a pretty funny name. I like that.
Yeah, Hello from the Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, it's good.
And the name of the song is Hello from the Other Side, right?
Well, it's just Hello, but she does say Hello from the Other Side and from the Outside. It's good. Your tweet of the day comes from the Florida State Seminoles at FSU_football. Just turn your phone off, Browns. And they, of course, had the kick six to end the game against Georgia Tech. And that happened last night to Cleveland against Baltimore. I thought that was kind of clever. We have a whole string of amazing Twitter reactions on cbsports.com/NFL. Let's talk about this game real quick. Baltimore 33, Cleveland 27, and McCown left with the collarbone injury, so it could be Manziel or Austin Davis next week against the Cincinnati Bengals at home. This week, I guess I should say. Do you think any major takeaways from this game from the Baltimore side, Heath?
I thought it was interesting how involved they got Terrence West. I didn't think Allen was doing a bad job early in the game, but it seemed like later in the game they wanted to go to West. He had fresher legs. He had a couple of really nice runs. I don't think he's good, but it doesn't look like this is going to be a situation where Devorius Allen's just going to take over all of Justin Forsett's work. It looks like they're splitting that work up, and that's not good for fantasy.
Do you think any of it had to do with West taking on his former team and wanting to stick it to the Browns? Maybe a little bit. The Andre Johnson homecoming factor, and that maybe next week against Miami, Buck Allen ends up getting much more work than what he had this week.
Yeah, I guess it could. From my perspective, I think guys like Andre Johnson have earned the right to have homecoming games.
Yeah. Are you saying that Terrence West hasn't earned that?
I don't know what coaching staff.
After all these years he's been in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, he spent like, what, a year with the Browns?
I think a year and change.
Actually. A year and change.
But wait, let's think about this here. Allen had five more carries. He also had four catches and the touchdown.
Right.
Terrence West had seven carries for 37 yards. So I think Allen, with 16 touches and, let's see, 84 total yards and a touchdown, going up against Miami this coming week, I think you could still feel pretty good about him. I don't think West had such a big role that you have to be worried about Allen this week.
I agree. And it's not like an injury was to blame here, because we see Allen getting carries into the fourth quarter.
Right.
No problem. So, and I mean, he was ripping off some nice runs late. He had 19 yards on two of his, it might have been his last two carries in the game. I'm just going over the play-by-play right now. So I'm not, I wouldn't be worried about this. And I agree with Heath that I think West, at best, is a guy that's going to rest with about 7 to 9 touches per game.
Javoris Allen had 61% of the snaps. He had 36 snaps. Terrence West had 13 snaps in this game.
Right.
Kamar Aiken had a nice game. He had 10 targets. No other player had more than 5 targets. In fact, it was Allen who had 5 targets. No other receiver had more than 4 targets. So Aiken was clearly Matt Schaub's favorite target. Dave, your thoughts on Aiken, on Crockett Gilmore going forward? People want to know if they should drop Crockett Gilmore. What do you think?
I don't hate the idea of dropping Crockett Gilmore, although I'm surprised that he wasn't used more by Schaub, because we've seen Schaub lean on the tight end. And in this game, he was looking at a matchup with Aiken, and he kind of rode it. And he's going to need to keep doing that. And maybe this does give Aiken some decent value rest of the way. I do think that there will be times where Schaub's going to look terrible, just as he has looked terrible. And he threw another pick six. So I'm not dying to start Kamar Aiken, except if it's in a PPR league as my third receiver.
And Max Williams was evaluated for a concussion, so keep that in mind if you're a Gilmore owner thinking about Crockett Gilmore. Heath, last thing from this game, Travis Benjamin had two straight games now after this one with double-digit targets and double-digit fantasy points. Do you have any interest in Travis Benjamin as they face the Bengals in Week 13?
Well, it's a bad matchup because it's a good defense, but on the other hand, they should be playing from behind, so they should have to throw the ball a lot. I think he could be a flex if you're desperate, is how I feel about him. Maybe a wide receiver three, but he could be a flex.
And now we get to welcome Jamie in. All right. What's up, Jamie?
Hi, buddy. How are you?
Congratulations on winning the wonderful Alfred Blue over Tevin Coleman bet.
Yeah, it was a nail-biter, wasn't it?
Well, if he hadn't fumbled, it would have been more of a nail-biter, Tevin Coleman, but it was 11-7 or 13-9, whatever it was.
13-9.
Congratulations.
Congratulations,
I guess they were both
on Kirk Cousins being great at home again.
Oh, yeah. There we go. He's got another home game this week. So
what was on the line for this?
Pride, Dave.
Mm-hmm. I think Jamie should get to decide the parameters of the bet now.
I don't.
I do.
Well,
I don't want to make Adam uncomfortable.
He could ask
Adam
me to sing.
Adam has to stand for 3 hours. That would make him uncomfortable.
He could ask me to sing Adele, but that's already happened, and Halo from the Carlos Hyde is going to be permanently in my head, at least for the rest of the day. Here's a stat of the day for you. Rob Gronkowski leads all tight ends with 17 red zone targets. Meanwhile, Scott Chandler has 8 red zone targets. So I will ask you guys who your favorite waiver wire pickups are this week, and I assume Scott Chandler will be one of them. Somebody's going to have to get those red zone targets. You know what, Jamie, you're the new guy right now. So who are your favorite waiver wire priorities in week 13?
Number one would be Scott Chandler, because I own Gronkowski or Tyler Eifert in every league. So need to make sure I have a tight end and one that I think has some potential. Number two would be David Johnson, because he's got a good opportunity with Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington out. And number three, I think, would kind of be case specific, but there are a lot of good quarterbacks out there. And given the fact that Romo is out and Luck is not returning and Peyton Manning is dead, if I get Jay Cutler for this week, I would take Jay Cutler or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Heath?
Yeah, I think for me, it's mostly going to be David Johnson. I'm hurting more at running back than I am anywhere else. I've got a little bit of interest in Sean Drone. Like, I feel like his matchups are going to be decent. He's getting the yardage. He's getting the volume. I know how much you like volume.
I do like volume. Hey, what is the deal with Carlos Hyde, by the way, guys? Do we have a timetable for him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, 2016, really. Week one.
Okay. If he's just taking up a spot on your bench, you should feel comfortable cutting him. But weeks ago, we didn't know what the situation would be.
He hasn't been good.
Well, that's true.
He hasn't been good, but Drone is getting not just the catches, not just the carries, but the catches as well, because Reggie Bush is out. So I just wonder, if Hyde comes back, is he going to step into that role? Is he going to get, you know, the catches as well? 5 catches a game, or is it just Drone's role at this point? And if Hyde came back, yeah, go ahead.
I almost wonder if the 49ers even remember that they haven't put Hyde on IR yet. Like, I could just see Tom Sula just like, you know, checking over the roster one day and going, wait a minute, we still have Carlos Hyde active? What are we doing? It's like when you're still carrying a player who's out for the year on your bench. Like, someone out there is Jamal Charles on their bench. Tom Sula's got Carlos Hyde on his real-life bench.
And you're cutting Carlos Hyde, then? You're cutting Hyde?
If I need the roster spot, absolutely.
Okay. Dave, who are your waiver wire priorities if they haven't been said yet?
Just generally speaking, it is David Johnson, number one, and I think Chandler is number two. I'm intrigued still by Devin Funchess. I know he hasn't been great. I'm intrigued by Doug Baldwin, who I think could still end up being pretty helpful for fantasy owners. But he's owned in a bunch of leagues, so I don't know if you can really get him. And I don't know if you can get him. Sean Drone, Theo Riddick are two guys in PPR leagues that I'm going to look at. And there's still quarterbacks out there that, you know, we lost Tony Romo for the rest of the season. If you can get your hands on Cutler or Fitzpatrick, I'd say you're getting a good quarterback.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick has the Giants this week, and it's hard to imagine him not getting at least 17 fantasy points. He seems to do that even in his bad weeks. So we'll talk about the quarterbacks a little bit later. Question about Scott Chandler. Is he worth picking up even if you aren't the Gronkowski or Graham owner? Is he just going to be really good until Gronkowski comes back, or is he just going to be like a normal tight end, some yards, maybe a touchdown?
I would expect him to be like a normal tight end, but we would like to have a normal tight end because there aren't very many of them left.
Okay.
So I think he's a guy that maybe you could count on for 50 or 60 yards and you're hoping to get a touchdown.
All right.
If not more than that. Last week, you would sign up for last week in a heartbeat. 5 for 58 and a touchdown.
And the thing that I like best is that when Brady was without Gronkowski on that last drive, who was he looking for?
Well,
Chandler had a bunch of catches.
I mean, look who else was around him.
But that's the point, is that Amendola is in a lock to come back. We've ranked him. We think he has a chance to come back.
He's playing. They cut Chris Harper for a reason.
Yeah, because he muffed the punt. That's why.
Because they have their punt return.
Well, hopefully that's what happens. And I don't think Keyshawn Martin is going to end up being a huge contributor for them. He had a big catch called back by a penalty. But I think Chandler's going to get a ton of targets. So, yeah, I love the idea of getting him, even if you don't need him.
Stat of the day number two is about Doug Baldwin, who is 74% owned, so this is really for shallower leagues. Okay, this year, Baldwin has 4 games with 8 or more targets. He has 3 games of those 4 with 15 fantasy points or more. 1 bad game, but 3 monster games for Baldwin when he gets 8 or more targets. Last year, he had 6 games with 7 or more targets. It's a little bit arbitrary, I'll grant you that, but his 6 most targeted games, including the playoffs, 5 of them double-digit fantasy points, including a 15-point game and a 19-fantasy-point game in standard-scoring leagues. So, and also, 4 of Baldwin's 5 highest-scoring games this year have come when Jimmy Graham has had bad games. Graham has had 4 points or less in 4 of those 5 games. Does Doug Baldwin have a big, big finish here, or is he just going to be the inconsistent Doug Baldwin that we've come to know and love?
It's just the matter of will he get a lot of targets? And game flow is going to dictate that more than anything else. Seattle, I think, is a team that would prefer to run the ball. They didn't do that on Sunday, and Baldwin had a great game because he had all those targets.
Okay. Is he a must add if you see him out there on your waiver wire, Doug Baldwin?
I don't even think he's the best receiver to add this week.
Who would that be?
I'd take Moncrief at the same ownership.
Really, after, because, you know, three of the first four games with Hasselbeck, not so good. Now he has a big game and you're feeling more confident?
He's getting the same team that Baldwin just torched.
That is true.
Right. And I don't think you're adding either of these guys to be starters for your team rest of the season. Right?
I mean, you might. You know, you're still looking at, like you said, Amendola is no lock to return.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who, I know, Heath, you've done it in at least one league, right, where you took Gronk and Kelsey or something, if I remember correctly.
And are you still searching for receivers, or have you found receivers?
Not to interrupt you, but my point would be, is there are people that are looking for flex options? You know, so it may be a running back that you lost. It may be tight end that you lost. It could just be a player that you're missing.
Okay, so that's fair.
Baldwin could, you know, I know I play in two or three receiver leagues that also have a flex. And their PPR leagues. I would love to have Baldwin as a flex, even in a tough matchup.
And certainly Moncrief, too.
But those probably aren't the 20% of leagues where he's available.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a fair point, too. And I would put both of these guys behind Chandler if I'm just picking up flex options.
See, I feel like maybe we're getting a little too excited about Chandler. Like, we just said he's probably going to be 50 to 60 yards and you're hoping for a touchdown. Well, I think Doug Baldwin's going to be 50 to 60 yards and you're hoping for a touchdown.
I think he's got a lower floor than that.
You're also looking at, would you rather have the tight end, the starting tight end in Tom Brady's offense, or the number one receiver in Russell Wilson's offense?
Or, in the case of Moncrief, the number two receiver in Matt Hasselbeck's offense. Now, that's a team that's also going to have a hard time running the ball.
Right.
So that's going to help Moncrief.
And, you know, to your point, Dave, about rest of season, there still is the caveat of Andrew Luck. You would love Moncrief and Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
He's back. So
yeah, so that's why you get him over Baldwin.
The encouraging thing would be coming off good game, great matchup, week 13, and potential of stud quarterback coming back to the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Couple things. One on Chandler. I know it wouldn't matter with you if it were Gronkowski, but does it matter to you that his next two matchups are Philadelphia, who allows the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends, and Houston, who allows the eighth fewest and is just playing great defense?
It's a factor, but you know, the way I did it in the column was more of a week to week thing because you don't know when Gronk could return. You know, there's still a chance he's playing week 14. So, like for this week, Richard Rodgers, great matchup. Crockett Gilmore, great matchup. Zach Miller, good matchup, great opportunity. Jacob Tammy, good matchup, great opportunity. There are a lot of guys that have great matchups this week. Are you willing to trust them at some of these tight ends? So I think with Chandler is you're more buying into Brady than you're buying into who they're facing.
All right, one other thing. Anquan Boldin is 59% owned. I do want to mention him. He actually has the fourth most red zone targets among wide receivers in the NFL, and he's missed, I think, two games this year. He's only one behind the leaders. Landry, Cobb, and Decker have 17 red zone targets. Boldin has 16. He only has two touchdowns. Maybe that means that our friend Touchdown Regression could be coming to visit Anquan Boldin. But look, two good games in a row against Seattle and against Arizona. Those are tough matchups. The schedule gets easier for him. I am certainly interested in picking up Anquan Boldin. How about you guys?
I love the targets that he's gotten over the past two games, too. 18 targets from Blaine Gabbert. So maybe that's right on par with where he was with Kaepernick. In fact, it is. I'm just looking over his game log.
But he was a good player with Kaepernick, you know? Like he should have been owned in more than 59% of leagues.
In doing the list of guys, after Moncrief and Baldwin, I had four guys for three spots, and it was Kendall Wright, Devin Funchess, Devontae Parker, and Boldin. And which one has the most ability to help your team now and going forward? And I like the opportunity for Funchess this week against the Saints. I like the opportunity for Parker with Rishard Matthews out in his matchup against the Ravens. And Wright, I think, is going to play well, especially for PPR owners going against Jacksonville this week now that he shook off the rust. So Boldin was the odd man out because of the matchups coming up. And I like the way Chicago's corners have played the last couple weeks. I mean, they've really done a nice job, especially last week against Green Bay.
Okay. Well, if you want to make a website that's safe and secure, looks really awesome, doesn't cost much, I think by now you know what to do. Use Squarespace.com. So many different designs and templates to choose from. It starts at just $8 a month. That's an awesome deal. And even better, you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. And the site, well, it's going to look very sharp. It's going to look very professional. Squarespace has easy-to-use tools. You don't need any expertise if you want to get started. Squarespace also has state-of-the-art technology that ensures stability and security. And honestly, it's really just a lot of fun to use. I've used Squarespace. I highly recommend it. It took me about an hour to create my website, and I loved the finished product. It was incredibly easy and really looked great. So start your free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. And when you sign up for Squarespace, use our offer code that is FUN to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Injuries, news, and notes. Rob Gronkowski expected, look, he's week to week. There have been conflicting reports. He's week to week. Don't drop Rob Gronkowski. And don't ask Bill Belichick his reaction, his emotions when Rob Gronkowski got hurt. He looked like he was going to jump off the stage and punch the reporter who asked him. It was a pretty awesome look he gave him. Alan Hearns unlikely to play this week due to a concussion, according to ESPN. They're at Tennessee. So are there any, Heath, anybody in the Jacksonville passing game that you'd be interested in with Hearns?
Well, I think Julius Thomas gets another boost. I mean, it just makes him that much more important in that offense.
Okay.
But I don't know if there's any other wide receivers in Jacksonville that I want a piece of.
Miami fired offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. Now, we did talk about that briefly yesterday, but we didn't really expand on it. Has anything come out about we want to run the ball more? Or you know,
yeah,
they saw something on Twitter
again.
About
yeah.
that.
Yeah, one of these days they're going to fire the right person, and everything's going to be great.
I'm thinking January 4th.
They're cleaning house completely. It's going to be Mike Tannenbaum and Stephen Ross standing there going, crickets, crickets.
Well, Lamar Miller will be there.
No, I mean in terms of front office.
And he'll be like, am I going to?
No, Lamar Miller's a free agent.
No, well, he's going to be there in January, though. He's still part of the team, technically. And he'll say, so, all right, I'm ready to run the ball more. And they're going to say, that's nice. Here's the door.
All right, looking at the Cardinals' backfield as they are getting ready to go to St. Louis. Chris Johnson, fractured tibia. You can drop Chris Johnson, right?
Yes, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Andre Ellington has turf toe. We don't know if he's going to be out. So should you hang on to Andre Ellington?
Nope. Depends on what your team looks like.
I wouldn't.
I think it depends on does he practice at all this week.
Turf toe is a serious deal.
It is, but there I think there's also varying degrees of it.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
I don't want to
drop
him.
If he ends up practicing, then you can hang on to him. But most of the time, especially with a guy who's as injury prone as Ellington, I don't see him being effective if he's got turf toe and he's running out there.
Well, let me ask you this. If they're both playing, David Johnson and Andre Ellington, who leads the team in carries?
Johnson.
I would say Ellington.
I bet it's Ellington.
Yeah, I'm not going to be dropping Andre Ellington. Even if he misses this week, like, I feel like he could have a huge role down the stretch if he gets healthy. Anyway.
We'll wait and see.
Chuck Pagano says that Frank Gore is, quote, beat to crap, end quote. Also, Ahmad Bradshaw's out for the year. So, Dan Heron, anybody?
Deeper leagues, for sure.
Especially if you're somehow relying on Frank Gore as a weekly starter.
Left tackle Anthony Costanzo, week to week with a knee strain, Colts left tackle. Bills defensive end Alex Carrington out for the year. Rashard Matthews, multiple broken ribs. Kansas City pass rusher Justin Houston has a sprained PCL. He's week to week. They're at Oakland this week. Carolina cornerback Charles Tillman out with a hyperextended knee. They signed Cortland Finnegan. They're at New Orleans. And we did determine on our Ion Fantasy Football radio show on Saturday night that not only is Rocky IV not a Christmas movie, but that Jamie Eisenberg had been lying about his thoughts on that on this podcast just to get under my skin. He, in fact, does not believe that Rocky IV is a Christmas movie, which makes me question if you really believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I 100% believe Die Hard is a Christmas movie, as does the rest of the world.
Do you expect the following players, guys?
You got him choked up.
You did. Devontae Freeman at Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Yes.
Sharkhandrick West at Oakland.
No. Not really.
Not
let
yet.
Let him rest.
Ben Roethlisberger at the Colts, against the Colts at home.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Heath Miller?
No.
Tyler Eifert?
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully Carlos Hyde? No. And how about Darrell Revis?
I don't know. If he misses this game, then he must have been popped really hard.
Waiver wire, tight ends. We're going to start with the tight ends. That's the big group this week. So Graham, Gronk, they're probably, well, Gronkowski almost certainly out this week. We know Graham's out for the year. And Garrett Celek, too. That's an interesting injury to watch, as Nick was talking about how he likes Vance McDonald in deeper leagues. But here's the top five for Jamie. Scott Chandler, Richard Rodgers at Detroit. He caught a touchdown against Detroit in their first meeting. Crockett Gilmore, Zach Miller, who has four touchdowns in his last four games, and Jacob Tammy. Well, okay, we talked Chandler. How about the next four? Heath, what do you think about Rodgers, Gilmore, Miller, Tammy?
The only one I think that was necessarily out of order of where I'd put them is possibly Jacob Tammy if we don't think that Leonard Hankerson's going to be back this week. Because his targets and his volume are just so much better than Rodgers or Gilmore if Hankerson's gone. So it's a little bit of speculation there, but I feel like if I'm going to go add somebody and I'm not going to get Scott Chandler, I don't know that there's a big enough difference between Richard Rodgers, Crockett, Gilmore, and the rest of those guys to where I wouldn't pick Tammy up first. And then if it turns out Hankerson's going to play on Sunday, I can pick up a tight end that's going to do about what those other two are going to do.
Tammy's just been uninspiring the last two games that Hankerson's missed. PPR better than standard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's been a normal tight end. He just didn't get a touchdown.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Jamie, what do you think about Crockett Gilmore after he did very little last night at Miami this week?
It's more about Miami's lack of defense against tight ends than what happened last night's game against the Browns. So I'll buy into that a little bit. I mean, you know, he still is, what, second on the team in targets? I guess maybe third behind Allen?
Yeah.
So he's still going to be involved. Okay. I just can't see them getting away from them against how bad Miami's linebackers and safeties have been outside of Rashad Jones.
What is the situation with Martellus Bennett, Dave, because Zach Miller's on this list?
Right. He practiced on Monday, and we'll see where he is. The Bears probably would love to have him back and get as many more weapons as they can, but they just proved that they can win without him, and Zach Miller, I think, is a pretty neato red zone option for the Bears. I think Cutler likes him, and I'm not excited about Martellus Bennett, and I don't think I would start him even if I had him back in Week 13.
Here's the thing that makes me nervous about Zach Miller is he was playing really well without Alshon Jeffrey, and then Jeffrey came back last game, and all he did was have the red zone catch. Really.
He had seven targets.
But still, his production waned a little bit, and now you're bringing Bennett back in the mix, so it'll be Bennett, Jeffrey, and who knows if Eddie Royal plays as well. So with all these guys, does Zach Miller still have the ability to help your fantasy team? So that's one that I struggle with, Heath, in terms of like Tammy and Miller and even Cameron Brate and Miller, you know, just because of how well he's played without Austin Sprain Jenkins.
Yeah, he's done great. And I wonder if the Zach Miller situation with Eddie Royal is just like Leonard Hankerson and Jacob Tammy in Atlanta.
Could be.
Where once Royal comes back, they're going to say, you know, pat on the back for Zach Miller. He's going back to the bench.
Right, so they play more three wide receiver sets.
Exactly. I don't know if they're in love with the two tight end set.
There are a lot of other tight ends to consider, guys. Brent Celek has had three good games in a row. Vance McDonald has had two good games in a row with over 60 yards and a touchdown. The Bears, though, are third best against tight ends. That's McDonald's matchup this week. Ryan Griffin, probably, you know, just the New Orleans thing, but he's at Buffalo this week. And Cameron Brate, last 2 weeks, 10 and 11 fantasy points for Tampa Bay. Whether it's him or Austin Seferian Jenkins, he's got Atlanta once, New Orleans and St. Louis in his next three games. Those are nice, nice matchups. So you want to talk about that group, guys? Celek, McDonald, Griffin, and Brate?
For me, Celek is quite a ways above the rest of these guys. Because you know Austin Seferian Jenkins is going to come back this week, so Cameron Brate won't be any good.
he might.
Ryan Griffin, I'm not buying into what happened against New Orleans. And I just feel like Philadelphia is going to be playing from behind against New Orleans. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody, and Brent Celek might be the most reliable target that they have.
The one thing, though, is I wouldn't trust the Eagles at all against the Patriots in New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they just obliterate everything, and they will obliterate that terrible Eagles offense. The reason I put Ryan Griffin on here is, and I mentioned this going into the Saints game, he's played now two games with Hoyer, and since coming back from injury, and the first game he had six targets, and then last week he was pretty involved. Mm-hmm. You know, so it seems as if, you know, we've seen sort of a mixed bag of who the second guy's been outside of DeAndre Hopkins. It's been Nate Washington at times, Cecil Shorts at times, and now Griffin's a guy that, you know, I think they're leaning on a little bit. I don't know if he's gonna, you know, be worth using right now. Certainly against Buffalo, it's not an easy matchup, even though Kelsey scored last week. But you know, we look at, you know, 14, 16 team leagues, and, you know, how does Griffin stack up to McDonald in a tough matchup against Chicago as well? You know, like you mentioned, is Ferry Jenkins back that negates Brayton? I'm just looking at the guys that are under 10%, you know, so for the deep, deep leagues, you know, who are we helping here? And I think Griffin could actually be interesting, and also comparison to, let's say, like Luke Wilson, who's going to be a starter now in Seattle.
Yeah, there are so the good matchups for other tight ends who are somewhat available. Kyle Rudolph has Seattle, Vernon Davis, and Owen Daniels are at San Diego, Kobe Fleener at Pittsburgh, and Luke Wilson at Minnesota, filling in for Jimmy Graham. So there are some options out there. It's not Gronkowski, but you know, there are some guys that can help your fantasy team at the tight end position. I bet you wish you could pick up Tyler Eifert right now. Well, you can. Sort of. You can do that on FanDuel, FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. They expect to pay out more than $2 billion this year. Get in on that. But it's not just the money that's great. It's just a very fun way to play fantasy football. I'm going to spend over an hour tonight making my waiver claims. That's kind of annoying. With FanDuel, you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to worry about injuries. You don't have to worry about bad matchups. You sign up for as little as $1. And it's not exactly signing up. There are no sign-up fees. You just enter a contest for as little as $1. Select a combination of players. Turn on the game. Sit back. Watch some football. Hopefully, you watch your team win. It's a piece of cake, and it's a lot of fun. We love FanDuel. I find myself monitoring my FanDuel lineup more than my seasonal lineups on Sundays, actually. So go to FanDuel.com. Start playing today. That is FanDuel.com. To the quarterbacks on the waiver wire. With Romo out, McCown out, potentially, and Roethlisberger dealing with the concussion. Jay Cutler has San Francisco and Washington in his next two games. He's at Tampa Bay in week 16. Ryan Fitzpatrick has the Giants. Last seven games since the bye, four games with 22 fantasy points or more, one bad game, and that was one he got hurt in, and two games with 17 or 18 fantasy points. So really, 17 fantasy points or more in his six healthy games since the bye, and the Giants are terrible, and Tennessee's not so good against the pass either. We got Marcus Mariota facing Jacksonville. They are 30th against opposing quarterbacks. Matt Hasselbeck playing pretty well. 24 fantasy points last week, and he will get Pittsburgh on the road on Sunday night. And Brock Osweiler, who didn't put up big fantasy numbers against New England, but played pretty well. He's at San Diego this week. All right, again, it's Cutler, Fitzpatrick, Mariota, Hasselbeck, and Osweiler. Heath, give me your rundown of that list.
I think that the name I'm most excited about on that list is Fitzmagic, because when you have a chance to have Fitzmagic on your roster, you just have to take it. He's been really sold short this year and for many years. He throws a lot of interceptions. He's not good for your team if you want to win, but as a fantasy quarterback, he's not terrible. And he's got a great matchup. I expect he's going to be really good against the Giants.
He's been pretty terrible as a fantasy quarterback for much of his career. So the waxing poetic about Fitzpatrick and okay, the nickname is bad. But I'll tell you what, since the bye week, he's had one game where he got hurt. Throw that out. One game where he only had, he only had one passing touchdown, but still had multiple touchdowns. He's had multiple touchdowns in every game since the bye, save for the one at Oakland where he only attempted five passes.
So right, it's always the turnovers with him that are going to be the issue.
Yeah, and that's it's really more like more than one turnover. When he has two turnovers, that's when his numbers get really ugly. But I like him, and I think that he's going to continue to throw the ball a decent amount. And that's the quarterback that I would want this week and rest of season if I had to pick from the group that you mentioned, Adam.
Over Cutler, huh?
Oh, Cutler's second.
Okay.
But to me, those are the top two.
Here's my cool stat about Cutler for this week. All the 49ers bad games on the road, and they've been bad against the opposing quarterback.
This is going to be another one for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, he's coming off two tough matchups. But the 49ers, I think, outside of maybe one game, and I'm not sure who was against, I can look up if you want to, but Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, all 22 fantasy points or more when they've been on the road, the 49ers defense. And so now you're getting potentially Bennett back, potentially Royal back. You saw what Jeffrey did. He shook off the rust last week, played well. Zach Miller is a red zone threat for him now. He's got two running backs that catch the ball. I think Cutler's going to have a big game this week. So that's why I have Cutler ahead of Fitzpatrick. But Fitzpatrick should play well, too. He's, you know, he gets a home game essentially this week because he's playing the Giants in the same building. And he scored 22 fantasy points in three of his last four games at home. So he's played well at home. And the one bad game was against the Bills on Thursday night. So make you look at that for him too. But I do think though it's somewhat contingent with Chris Ivory. If Ivory just dominates this game, which he could, because the Giants really struggled against the run, it could limit Fitzpatrick's upside. So that's what we've seen from him a little bit over the course of the season, is that he's had the two touchdowns, the two interceptions, and the yards have been right around 200 to 250, and that keeps him from that monster game. So he's a little bit captive.
Well, he just had a monster game last week.
Well, the Dolphins are the worst defense in the NFL.
Right. And the Giants defense, sorry, Adam, cover your ears. I don't think it's that great.
Oh, you don't say. But the one thing that they are good at is intercepting passes.
Right.
So that's something to consider. But they still give up yards in the process.
I think you could make the same argument for Cutler as you just made for Fitzpatrick.
Oh, he doesn't turn the ball over anymore.
He doesn't turn the ball over anymore, but the Bears could run the ball a ton in that game against San Francisco. And I think this could be a really good week for Forte and Lang.
I totally agree.
And I always love it when a former defensive coordinator plays against his ex-team a year later. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're getting this week is Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, ran the defense for San Francisco last year. He knows what he's going up against.
More quarterbacks, guys. How about Kirk Cousins with another home game? Last four home games, 23 fantasy points or more in all four of them. But this time it's Dallas. The other four matchups were much, much better. Dallas has a better defense.
That's why I wouldn't touch Cousins.
Okay. Alex Smith, Matt Castle.
No, thank you.
Those are two quarterbacks in the National Football
Alex
League.
Alex Smith's history against the Raiders is amazing.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I looked at this. His last two games at Oakland. Heath, do you know how many touchdowns he's thrown in Oakland the last two games?
Combined or
seven?
Each?
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven his last two games.
What
his
a lucky guess.
Games. Huh?
What a lucky guess.
Well, you've got that Jamal Charles game where he caught a bunch of touchdowns.
His last three games against Oakland, he's been at least 234 passing yards and two touchdowns in every game. And for what it's worth, Oakland has just been awful against every quarterback not named old crotchety Peyton Manning and Teddy Bridgewater, who doesn't throw the ball. But Smith and Bridgewater are obviously kind of the same in that they don't throw the ball a ton, don't give you a lot of production. So I think Smith's a sneaky option in two quarterback leagues this week, depending on how your league shakes out and who's available to you. Seasonal one quarterback leagues, it's risky. But I think in tournaments on FanDuel, he's an interesting play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about we take a look at the running backs now with the Cardinals guys banged up. Bradshaw's out for the year. Carlos Williams is banged up. Jeremy Hill thinks he has a good shot to play. You guys expect Jeremy Hill to play?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So here are the guys to add. David Johnson, he is averaging 4.4 yards per carry. He had a touchdown at San Francisco last week, and he gets the Rams on the road. Sean Drone, who is at Chicago. Brandon Bolden. James White did play 17 more snaps than Bolden, but Bolden had all the production. Four catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown, and also four carries for 11 yards. And Theo Riddick, who caught his third touchdown of the year against the Eagles last week, gets Green Bay this week. It's not a great group. David Johnson's obviously exciting. Johnson, Sean Drone, Brandon Bolden, Theo Riddick. Heath, I can give you the first word on this group.
Wow, I get the first word on everything. That's,
yeah, you do.
I feel so special.
You kind of let Dave and Jamie just fight it out after that, so I want to let you get
okay.
your voice.
Okay, well, I mean, outside of David Johnson and Sean Drone, I hope you don't need a running back, is how I feel about this group. I'm not excited about, I mean, Jay Ajayi may get more work than Lamar Miller, I guess. He did last week, which seems awfully silly. I don't really want any part of the Dolphins. Even, I mean, we say he's a good handcuff. I think Turbin's better just because that's a good offense. If Ajayi gets the full-time role in Miami, what is that, 8 carries?
Well, you'd have to ask the offensive coordinator, whoever it is these days.
Yeah, the quarterback's coach, I think.
Well, yeah.
It's just that whole situation is such a mess. I think I'd rather have Dan Heron.
I'm interested in Dan Heron, guys. I mean, I feel like he's much more than a handcuff now. First of all, he was good for fantasy owners down the stretch last year, and Gore is clearly running out of steam and beat to crap, as Pagano puts it. I don't know. Am I crazy to say that Dan Heron is a borderline must-add running back?
Yes. Yeah. I just said that I'd rather have Dan Heron than some of the guys above him on this list, but to say that Dan Heron is must-add, yeah, I don't.
But if you're in a deeper league,
deep leagues for sure,
I think you've got to pick him up.
Yeah.
I think how many intriguing stash candidates are there at this point in the season? I'm not picking him up if I'm fighting for a playoff spot and I need all the help that I can get. Unless I've got Carlos Hyde on my bench and I know that he's not going to be a factor for me. So what the heck? I'll cut Hyde and I could add Heron if that's just something that I want to do. But if I'm a team that's heading into the playoffs, like in one of my leagues, I've already clinched the number one seed. I'm considering finding a way to get Dan Heron on my roster. And I might even cut somebody like Alfred Morris to do it just on the hunch that Heron ends up with this huge role in Indianapolis where he's catching 5 passes a game and getting 10 to 12 carries per game and hopefully hanging on to the football.
Can I at least say that if you were adding Ahmad Bradshaw last week, you should be adding Dan Heron now?
Of course.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, Dan Heron is 2% owned, so that should go up. Let's go to the wide receivers. With Hearns dealing with a concussion, Rishard Matthews with the chest injury. Jamie's top five are Dante Moncrief, and Jamie was really approaching it from a week-to-week perspective. He's at Pittsburgh, they're 29th against opposing wide receivers. Doug Baldwin is number two, and you could target some other Seattle wide receivers if you'd like, Jermaine Kearse, Tyler Lockett. Kendall Wright is number three after two catches for 19 yards. Now, he actually played five fewer snaps than Dorial Green-Beckham. I would wonder if that they're just kind of easing him back and maybe the snaps go up this week against Jacksonville.
Maybe.
Devin Funchess, yeah, kind of like what happened with Gates 2 weeks ago. Devin Funchess at New Orleans and Devontae Parker. Four catches, 80 yards, and a very impressive touchdown on 10 targets against the Jets. So he gets Baltimore this week. And boy, they really struggled against Benjamin and Hartline. So
they struggle against everybody. Baltimore's
yeah, they stink.
They are the New Orleans of the North.
Moncrief, Baldwin, Kendall Wright, Funchess, Devontae Parker. Discuss.
I'll start again. Okay. I think Funchess should have a really good game today in this week
at New Orleans.
At New Orleans,
he should. But is he the guy? That's always the problem with
them. They're mixing. But I mean, we just saw a game where Ginn didn't have a target, right? And it's Corey Brown didn't even play, did he?
Corey Brown didn't play. Kotry led them in targets at the receiver spot.
So,
but it could be. I mean, the one thing about Cam is he could throw two touchdowns to Olsen. He could run one in. He could be a monster fantasy wise, and Funchess does nothing.
Right,
and we've seen it.
Right, so it's a lot.
I
think the way that I would look at it is, and I agree with Heath. He should have a great game.
Right.
In theory, but you got to really approach him as if you've been kind of rotating a third receiver in a three receiver league or maybe a flex spot. That's really where he fits in. Like, don't bench him over. Don't start him over somebody who's been playing well.
No. I don't know if I'm prepared to start him even now. And so that begs the question, if I'm not going to start him at New Orleans, which is the dreamiest of dream matchups, when am I going to do it? Am I going to do it versus Atlanta the week after or at Atlanta 2 weeks after that or against the Giants in week 15?
I think the interesting question for
me is... That's just kind of where I'm coming from here is that, well, why am I adding him? Because I think he's a great talent on an undefeated team.
Just for this week.
It might be just for this week. And if you're not prepared to start him this week, then you shouldn't even bother.
I think I'd rather add him and start him than I would Kendall Wright. Wright has really had one good game since week three.
Yeah. Well, he's been banged up as part of it,
he's
too.
Right, but four of those games were before he got hurt. I mean, one of them he did get hurt in, but...
Yeah, but he also dealt with Mettenberger, too. Keep that in mind. That was without Mariota.
Okay.
Two of those games.
Yeah.
Was it two of them?
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by Parker the same way I am in Funchess, in that here's this rookie talent who's good, who's getting a great opportunity, and he has a great matchup. He's got Baltimore this week. I might even be more inclined to start Parker over Funchess because I'm assuming that he's going to get a lot of playing time with Rishard Matthews out. And Kenny still stays in that role of part-time number three outside receiver. I love Landry this week. I know that for sure.
I will say
Parker. I might lean towards starting Parker over Funchess, but just because I don't know what I'm going to get from either guy. Both guys could absolutely lay an egg, but I have a feeling that Parker is going to get more targets than Funchess.
Yeah, I don't.
You think so?
Targets. I would bet on Parker getting more targets than Funchess. What they do with them, anybody's guess. Which goes back to the original question. Are you brave enough to start either one of these guys? And if you're not, then I don't know if you pick them up.
Well, if you want like a safe 7 or 8 points and you don't want to risk it with these boomer bust guys, I think that's where Anquan Boldin comes into the equation at 59% ownership. Would you agree he's much safer?
And he's been getting targets too.
Yeah, he's safer, right, than the Funchesses, Parkers, Kendall Wrights of the world?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know about Wright, but the other two for sure.
And Cecil Shorts is also available. He is 11% owned. He caught a touchdown against the Saints, and now he's at Buffalo. I just need to correct something I said. I mentioned how Kendall Wright may be getting eased back, kind of like Antonio Gates was after his injury. Well, Gates did not increase his snap percentage in week 12 compared to week 11. He has played less than half the snaps in 2 weeks in a row, so that's kind of weird. But didn't matter.
Just a nice big red zone target for Phillip Rivers.
Okay, let's go to... Oh, other guys. I know, Jamie, you wanted to talk about these guys. Dontrell Inman, Marcus Wheaton, Devin Smith, and Seth Roberts had big games. Do you care about any of them? Inman, Wheaton, Smith, Devin Smith, Seth Roberts?
Nope.
Okay. D. DSTs.
We're starting Parker and Funchess ahead of those guys.
Absolutely.
But, you know, people get excited when you see big numbers. Ween had a 200-yard game, and Edmund scored. And, you know, I mean, throw Jermaine Kearse in there, too, with two touchdowns. You just got to be realistic about what those guys are and what their numbers have been. Wheaton had, I think it's like 4 fantasy points combined in his last 6 games prior to the Seattle game.
So the Texans are 61% owned. That is, that's going to go up. They have been playing unbelievably. They just held the Saints without a touchdown for the first time in like a decade, whatever that was. Or maybe that was Drew Brees hadn't thrown a touchdown.
No, I think it was the Saints.
Saints, yeah, it was crazy. They're at Buffalo. They do get New England in week 14. Depending on who's playing for New England, you might not want to start the Texans, but then at Indianapolis in week 15 and then at Tennessee in week 16, and the Texans are 61% owned. The Dolphins facing Baltimore. Matt Schaub just loves to throw pick sixes. It's tough to trust the Dolphins, but, you know, the pick six thing. And the Bears facing San Francisco. And then they have Washington at home the following week. So those are some of the DSTs you could stream. Do you worry about the Chiefs at Oakland without Justin Houston?
Yes. Houston's their best defensive player. And to I know Tom Bahali is there too, and he's a good pass rusher, but he's not Justin Houston. And I think that that's part of the reason why Tyrod Taylor had such a huge game.
Mm-hmm. No, Sammy Watkins making ridiculous catches is why.
Okay, that's fair. But him being in a position to chuck the rock like he did, in part was because Justin Houston didn't put a lot of pressure on him.
It definitely hurts the defense. I feel like the Chiefs defense is now more of a boomer bust play because there's still some implosion potential. Carr could still throw a couple
points. Yeah, I like Carr better now.
Yeah.
Okay, and kickers to consider. Cairo Santos, Jason Myers, and Ryan Succop are available for you. Time for the drop-o-meter.
Drop-o-meter.
Whatever. Yeah, fine. The drop-o-meter, Dave.
Drop-o-meter.
Carlos Williams.
Yeah. Do we know the severity of the injury?
No. Day to day.
I don't mind hanging on to him if you've got LeSean McCoy.
That's the only reason to do it. Right.
Devontae Adams.
I mean, look, this is an interesting week for him. All those targets. Interesting week for him.
All right, who's going to start him?
I don't know, start him, but if he plays well this week, everybody's going to be running the waiver wire to pick him up.
I'll go six. For the Packers. We're supposed to be playing a game and saying numbers, right?
Yeah. I think six is about right.
Six is fair.
Thank you, Heath.
He's not a must carry guy.
Jason Witten.
On your roster.
Dump him. 10.
10.
15. James White.
Dump-o-rama.
12.
I thought he'd have a chance to get a lot of targets and be an outlet for Brady against Denver, and it didn't work out.
It was Bolden.
Yeah, it sure was.
Would you drop James White for Brandon Bolden?
Yes.
If it comes down to that, if I miss on David Johnson and everybody else, then of course.
Even though White played more snaps than him and had the better game 2 weeks ago.
I don't care about snaps. He's in there to block when he's in there.
Who?
White. They trust him in pass protection.
I think it's a mess. I think LeGarrette has a good week this week because I think they blow out Philadelphia. But it's a mess. I wouldn't feel comfortable starting White or Bolden.
Stephon Diggs.
I think he's a six. If we're going to put Devontae Adams, lots of targets, not a lot of production at a six, I think Diggs has to be there too.
I'm going to put him at a four. I think he's a better receiver than Devontae Adams is. He just has a worse situation.
I agree. He also has tough matchups ahead, especially this week against Seattle.
I'd rather have Devontae Adams than Diggs though, because yes, Diggs is probably a better wide receiver, but the situation is so much better for Devontae Adams.
It is, unless Aaron Rodgers just gets tired of watching Adams drop the ball, like stops throwing to him.
Maybe we're going too low on Adams with the six.
No
maybe
way.
Maybe they start trying
no
to get somebody
way.
Else more involved.
I will not drop Devontae. I will not drop the guy. It would have to be what he said. If they start going away from him, then I will start
they
considering
might
dropping
him.
Then I'd bench him. But until I see that happen, I am not taking the guy. I am not dropping the guy that gets the most targets on the Packers.
How have we not made any jokes when talking about the drop-o-meter with Devontae Adams?
Too obvious.
Charles Clay.
10.
12.
Crockett Gilmore with Schaub.
5.
I'll go higher because there's tight ends you can pick up off the waiver wire this week that I'll start over Gilmore. 2. I'll say 7.5.
2.
Peyton Manning is the most sentimental drop in fantasy football history.
We said he was a 10 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, there should be no sentiment there. Just do it.
Just put on your Sarah McLachlan album. And drop him.
James Starks.
Not if you're the lazy owner.
Right. Same thing as Carlos Williams.
Melvin Gordon.
God, he's
six,
terrible.
Seven, six,
ten.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Matt Ryan, Carolina twice in the playoffs.
Zero.
He's not a top 12 quarterback, and I don't know when he'll be a top 12 quarterback anytime soon this season.
Ten. Yeah.
I would expect he's going to be a top 12 quarterback.
I was
going to
say
this
eight.
Week against Tampa Bay. He threw for almost 400 yards last time.
I can't trust him.
He's been so awful outdoors on the road this year and in his career.
I cannot. No way I think Tampa Bay wins.
Their favorite.
Bay wins too.
Well, Tampa Bay won the last time, and yeah. Ryan had a huge game. So
that didn't negatively impact Ryan's performance.
Broncos DST.
Three.
Yeah.
Two. I think three is too high. I'm gonna say one.
Zero.
Calvin Johnson, kidding. And how about the drop-o-meter itself? I would have dropped it in week one. I like the drop-o-meter.
Ouch.
I prefer the drop-o-meter, but I see where you're coming from.
Okay. Dave, do you have to go?
Yeah, I do.
All right, we're going to let Dave go. We're going to continue with the emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com to finish off the show. This is from Scott in a small Wisconsin town. Hey, Brett, Owen, and Anvil. Those have got to be wrestlers, right?
What's that?
Are those wrestlers?
Yeah. Okay. They're part members of the Hart family.
Anvil, I didn't know. I have Ben Roethlisberger. His matchups are great for week 15 and 16, but he seems to be fragile. Am I safe with Matthew Stafford? Would you consider starting Stafford over Roethlisberger going forward?
I'm not going to start Roethlisberger or Stafford over Roethlisberger. No.
No.
Here's one from Dylan. Says, I need a win in week 13 to grab the last playoff spot in my league. I have Brian Hoyer at the helm. Wondering if I go with Hoyer against Buffalo or try to pick up Matthew Stafford against Green Bay.
Stafford.
Stafford. I think Hoyer could be in a little bit of trouble from the standpoint of all of his best games came when the Texans defense was terrible and they were chasing points. And now they could be playing from a lead where he's not going to throw as much.
Now, would you, if he can't get Stafford, would you rather have Hoyer or Cutler or Fitzpatrick this week?
I would rank those Fitzpatrick, Cutler, Hoyer.
I would go Cutler, Fitzpatrick, Hoyer.
This is Greg from a city not near Dave. New Orleans. He says, dear, A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and A Charlie Brown Christmas. I think we all know what they have in common. One keeper in his league. Anyone picked up off waivers counts as a last round pick in next year's draft. Is there any super deep player I could pick up who may not be doing much now, but maybe worth it for next season? Cannot pick up players on IR.
Well, it sounds like you only get one keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just keep a good player?
Yeah.
As opposed to somebody that you're picking up off waivers?
Because he can keep him for a last round pick.
I mean, I guess the guy, if IR doesn't count, so that would take away Kevin White or Breshad Perriman. Then maybe take a flyer on Josh Gordon.
Or Devontae Parker.
Yeah, Devontae Parker was the name that came to mind, sure. Any backup running backs that you could see? You know,
Ajayi could be a starter for the Dolphins.
Ajayi, yeah. There you go.
But I mean, he's saying super deep. You know, I would imagine Ajayi's owned.
Could be.
If that's the case. Ajayi would be one. I mean, Javorius Allen could be the starter in Baltimore next year.
He's surely owned too.
Right, but I'm just like going through the list of, you know, guys. Rawls is the same situation, but he's owned. Langford is owned. Yeah, it's not. There's not like a glaring name out there.
Okay.
Like a young guy sitting on somebody's bench. Maybe David Cobb, but you wouldn't want to deal with the Titans.
Here's Craig from a village in Wales, UK. He says, good luck pronouncing it. I'm going to spell it for everybody. You can try to pronounce it at home. LLANERCHYMEDD. LLANERCHYMEDD. Anybody want to give that a shot?
Lannerkind.
What did you say?
Lannerkind.
Really?
I gave it a shot.
You said it with such confidence. He says, hey, Cottonmouth, Copperhead, and Black Mamba. So those are obviously snakes, but is that a reference to something?
Wait, what is it again?
Cottonmouth, Copperhead, and Black Mamba. Is that Kill Bill?
I was going to say, it could be Kill Bill.
Yeah, it could be. Roster dilemma. I have Adrian Peterson and I'm thinking about picking up Jerick McKinnon.
Please do.
Well, okay, so he's deciding basically to pick up Jerick McKinnon or C.J. Anderson.
Well, I mean, clearly C.J. Anderson's got a ton more upside. And you would play C.J. Anderson over McKinnon, and McKinnon was a starter for Minnesota.
Yeah, but what if Peterson goes down and there's still the Hillman-Anderson timeshare? I think you're playing McKinnon.
Well, it depends on matchups and how McKinnon does. There's also going to be a McKinnon-Asiata timeshare. You know, I mean, we and my fault for not mentioning that too, but we don't talk about that. That Asiata's been playing just as much as McKinnon has, and we'll play as much as we saw last year too.
Well, these are the interesting situations, like, because he also has Spencer Ware. So it's like, you know, Sharkhandrick West should be back at some point, but could you really drop Spencer Ware for your handcuff?
No, but you pick up Anderson. I mean, you have to buy into what we know right now. And what we saw against the Patriots Sunday night was the C.J. Anderson we saw last season.
Yeah, but so, I just feel like we saw that 4 weeks ago with C.J. Anderson, and he hasn't done anything since until last week. He had 3 bad games in a row.
Yeah, but again, if you can... You're banking on hope in both cases. You're banking on hope that McKinnon is great if Peterson goes down. And you're banking on hope that Anderson picks up from last week's game and builds off of it. Which is more realistic to happen? You're dealing with two scenarios with McKinnon. You're dealing with one scenario with Anderson.
Right. And the other factor is there's a good chance nobody's picking up McKinnon other than you.
Well, yeah, but you want to be, you know, proactive in that. The one thing would be is that, you know, you don't make a move on McKinnon now. You pick up Anderson, and then if Sharkhandrick West goes full practice all week, you drop Ware on Friday or Saturday, and you pick up McKinnon just going into the weekend.
Kareem from Spartanburg, South Carolina, is in a 14-team PPR league. Going into the playoffs is either the number 1, 2, or 3 seed. I have Jeremy Hill, Eddie Lacy, and Spencer Ware. I have an open slot for a fourth running back. First of all, between Hill, Lacy, and Ware, which two can I trust going into the playoffs, and any suggestions for a sneaky waiver wire ad with positive upside?
I would think if Sharkhandrick West is indeed out again this week, that this week you're playing Lacy and Ware, but most likely West is back by the time you're in the playoffs and you're playing Hill and Lacy.
As long as Hill's healthy and playing well. And in terms of, you know, sneaky ad, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if it's not sneaky, but David Johnson right now would be the guy you want to, you know, target. Sean Drone, if he's still available, you know, I don't expect Carlos Hyde to play anytime soon. And he's done a nice job. And then, did he say standard or PPR?
PPR. Dan Heron.
No, I mean, it's really hard to overlook Theo Riddick in PPR. You know, he's gotten multiple games with 5 catches. He's actually been really good at home. And so, you know, I'd look at him. And then, you know, for what it's worth, I know we kind of poo-pooed Brandon Bolden, and understandably so. But think about a scenario if LeGarrette Blount goes down. It's not James White. It would be Bolden. And so Bolden can not only be the running downs guy or the passing downs guy, he can be the running downs guy. So, you know, I think all those guys are worth consideration, as is Dan Heron.
Dan Heron.
We talked about that too. Frank Gore, you read the quote from Chuck Pagano, and Dan Heron was a guy that they relied on quite a bit last year.
For sure. Fellas, thank you very much for running down the waiver wire with me.
It was fun.
Thank you.
Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, Heath Cummings, I'm Adam Azer. We're back with Stephen O tomorrow and plenty more, so send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Bye.